As you know, Peter is writing this letter right at the back end of his life. He's aware that in the next few days, weeks, months, he's probably going to be martyred. He's in prison when he's writing this letter. He's in Rome. And what Peter wants us to take away from this passage, I think, or certainly my summary of it, is summed up in a couple of phrases. The first one is this: what we know and what we believe affects the way that we behave. What we know and then what we believe affects the way that we then go on and behave. And Peter is writing this letter, and this passage particularly, if you read these verses, he's wanting to remind and reestablish how important it is to know what the truth is. And we live in such an age right now where how difficult it is to find out what is the truth. You know, the whole thing of fake news has become like that phrase. The impact of social media and content that you can find via social media, via YouTube. What is truth? Even in this moment of coming out of the pandemic and trying to navigate, it's like, what is the truth about all the things that we hear about? And Paul had a similar thing going on here. Sorry, Peter had a similar thing going on here, where he wanted at the end of his life for those disciples who were following Jesus, who were following him in his following of Jesus, to be reminded to know where to go to find the truth. And how do you discern what the truth is? And it's so important right now for us as Christians to really work hard at understanding what is truth, because there's such an assault on truth. And what is truth? What he's going through here is he's beginning to lay out in these few verses a bit of an argument for the next two chapters. 2 Peter is only 3 chapters long. If you sat down and read it, you probably read it in less than 15 minutes. And if you haven't done that already, then I encourage you to do it. Read the whole letter in one go, because that's how Peter intended you to read it. It was a letter that he wrote. You wouldn't get a letter from somebody that's away in another part of the country and just read the first chapter and then leave it for a few weeks and read the rest of it, would you? You'd read the whole letter. And so he gets into a whole theme in chapters 2 and 3, which is really important for him, particularly at this stage of his life, is how do you distinguish between true prophets, true teaching, false prophets, and false teaching? And it's so important for us, I think, in this context right now, to find ways to distinguish between what is true teaching and what is false teaching, who are the true prophets and who are the false prophets, because there's so much content out there, so much content that you can access via the internet, via social media, via YouTube. How do we do it? How do we distinguish together? And it's not just a challenge that we have right now. It's a challenge that has been there for the church for generations. And actually, this whole thing of what is truth, you distinguish between truth and lies. What you believe is to be, the truth, has caused so much issue in our side of Christianity, where as Protestants, we protest against things, and therefore the danger is when we protest against things, we then keep subdividing around the things that we do think is the truth. That's the history of denominations. Sue and I were watching, I think, was it yesterday or Friday? Sue's got a little clip that she uses in her teaching, RE World, about, which is the 10 minutes, in 10 minutes, church history. It's really interesting. Doesn't capture everything, but it's just as you see the divisions and the schisms that happen, and particularly from the Reformation, the whole Protestant movement divides over truth. And so although truth is important, it's also equally as important to discern actually what is the fundamental truths that we agree on and what are some of the things that maybe are not so, more secondary truths. They're still important, but they're not the things that are going to divide us. And I think right now the danger is, and we've said this before in a couple of contexts, that there is a political spirit at work in our world, particularly in the Western world, that is summed up in this phrase, I'm right, you're wrong. Period. Let's not talk about it. Let's not discuss it. Let's not work out why you think that, I think that. Let's just accept the fact that I'm right and you're wrong. It's played out every day, particularly in the media and social media. It's a political spirit that is at work. And we have to be so careful as Christians. So Peter really speaks into this. This is one of the reasons why we're in 2 Peter, because he gives us some tools. He gives us understanding of how we do this. And there are 3 main points that Peter's making in these verses. The first thing is that he wants to remind them of what he and the other apostles have already taught them. There's something really important about repetition and remembering what you have been taught. And not to allow the new things that you begin to hear and the new things that begin come into your understanding to displace those fundamental truths that you have built your faith on and which we have built our lives on. And Peter wants them to remember that. Repetition is important for stability. And so I want to encourage you, I want to encourage myself to remind myself, what are those key truths, building truths that I'm building my life on? To remind myself, to talk about it with other people. Secondly, he wants to remind those people reading this letter that actually Peter's authenticity and authority. So why would you listen to Peter as somebody who has authority? Well, you would listen to him because ultimately it comes from God himself speaking through Peter. And this is one of those areas that we have to work really hard on. Because one of the fundamental things that we believe, and we believe this strongly as a church, is that God has the ability to speak through humans. It's called prophecy. But that prophecy and the way that God speaks to us and the authority that that carries has to be judged by, primarily in our context, how it matches up to Jesus, because Jesus is the Word of God. And that's what Peter's doing here. He's saying, actually, if you read through this, you can trust what I'm saying. You can trust Jesus because I was an eyewitness of what Jesus did. And he goes into this in this passage. It's amazing if you read it. Peter reminds his readers, the people who's going to get this letter, that he was there. He was there at this amazing moment when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of what we call now the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 16. He was there. He saw the glory of Jesus in a way that actually only Peter, James, and John saw. None of the other disciples saw Jesus in this moment where Jesus was transfigured. And so all of that glory that Jesus had laid aside, all that Paul reminds us in that passage in Philippians, where he's laid aside his glory, he's laid aside his majesty. In that moment of transfiguration, if you know the story, when they go up to the mountain and Jesus stands with Moses on one side and Elijah on the other, his glory is revealed. It's like a burst of whatever, light, power, energy, majesty, glory. And Peter was there. Now this is like, maybe 30, 35 years later, Because at the time, Peter had no idea what was going on, because Peter's response was, let's build some tents. let's capture this moment. But this is 30 years later, and he's reminding them that the authority of what he's saying and some of the things that are being taught at that time, one of the things that Peter's speaking against in this moment is that there's a group of teachers in the wider church at that time who are teaching that Jesus' second coming isn't going to happen. That's what they're teaching. They're saying it's just a myth. And this teaching has been propagated around some of the churches as the church is spreading out over those 30 years from Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. And this passage is addressing that. He's talking into it, where he says to them, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories, but we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, for we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So when he talks about the coming of Jesus, he's not talking about the first coming of Jesus, he's talking about the second coming of Jesus. So in that moment, there's already some false teachers, Peter would say, who are teaching that Jesus isn't coming a second time. And Peter's saying, well, you can trust me because I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. And obviously that means, you know, and who he was, that the Apostle Peter obviously carried some weight. The third thing he points out here, which is, I guess, important for us now, nearly 2,000 years later, is that Peter begins to talk about the authority of Scripture. The authority of Scripture. And so at the end of this little passage, he makes the point where he says this. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as if they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own imagination. So, at this point, this is like about AD 60 in the timeline. And at this point, there's letters being written to the churches that have been spread out. And we have a record of those letters in what we call the canon of Scripture. The word Scripture in the Greek at that time was just a word for pieces of writing. But in this context of the Jews and the early church, the Scriptures primarily refer to the Old Testament, because that was already written. It was there for them to use. But what was beginning to happen was that letters were going out from different teachers, and some of those teachers were the apostles. So Peter, Paul, James were writing letters. But there was also other letters being written by other teachers. And it's a fascinating story. I haven't got time to get into this now, but if you study the first 300 and sort of 80 years of the church, which I did at Bible college, it's fascinating to see how the church got to the point by AD 380 to decide which of those letters, so all these letters have been written in about AD 60, AD 70, AD 80, how do you decide that those letters are Scripture, the canon of Scripture, the authority of Scripture, and which are just letters written for good advice? Because how we approach Scripture determines on where we place our belief in truth, doesn't it? So for us as a church and for me as a leader, the ultimate authority in my life is the Word of God. The Word of God is primarily revealed to me in Jesus. So it needs to look like Jesus, feel like Jesus, sound like Jesus. If things are shared with me that are not within the written scripture, but they're sort of the prophetic world of God speaking, which I fully believe in, if it doesn't look or sound or feel like Jesus, then I have the right, and you have the right, to reject it. I give you permission to reject prophetic words. Because the danger is when somebody comes with a prophetic word, they carry this authority of God is speaking through me. And we've taught on this before, but it really needs to be said. I do not like anybody coming to me with that first verse person saying, God has said to me, therefore you need to listen to me. Because it gives me no way of testing whether that is God or not. Do you understand? And we have to, in the New Testament, we're told that we have to test prophecy. So if it is God, and God does speak, we need to come with full humility and an understanding that actually this could be something of me, something of God, and something that needs tested. It's so important. And this is what Peter is getting at. Because the problem Peter had was that he had false teachers who were beginning to teach stuff. But Peter was like, that's wrong. And I need to show you that it's wrong. And I've got an urgency about showing you that I'm wrong because I'm actually going to be dead within the next 12 months. So I'm not going to be here in person. You know, we did that in that, you know, what would be the thing that you'd want to tell people if you knew you're going to die within 12 months? What's important to you? Well, what was important to Peter, recognize that there is scripture being written now, and he makes reference to it in 2 Peter 3, because he talks about Paul's letters as being scripture. It's a really important moment. Because at this point, Paul is writing his letters over here in this side of the world, mainly to Gentiles, and Peter's writing his letters over here, mainly to the Jews. And Peter and Paul had moments when they disagreed. Shock, horror. Christians who don't agree on everything. It still happens, unfortunately. But they worked it out. They grappled with it. And Peter says in 2 Peter 3, listen to what Paul's writing because it's scripture. There's something about this that's not just Peter's or Paul's writing. God himself is speaking through these very words. And it's really important for us in this moment to understand how is that possible? How do we grapple with truth then? And so truth in our world is primarily found from an internal process that goes on inside you within our society. You find truth primarily from within. You understand yourself. You find yourself. You take time to build yourself up and you find truth with inside. But the Christian and Christianity and the church is saying, actually, truth is found primarily externally. It's not found primarily in you. It's found primarily in Jesus because he is the word of God. But then the written word of God, which we call the scriptures, the Bible. But I think the word scriptures carries something of what the New Testament was trying to get us to understand in the sense that this is God speaking. The scriptures always testify to Jesus, and they also then connect the Old Testament and the New Testament. And again, we haven't got enough time to show you how that works. And that's not to say, and this, you know, we have to be honest about this, and we have to work hard at this. Just because we say we believe the Bible doesn't mean you won't find another Christian who might say they believe the Bible and believe something different. That, let's be honest, that happens. That's why we've got denominations. Now, what we then have to work out is, well, what's the primary beliefs that we have as church? And what Peter's doing in his letter here is giving us some insight in how you do that. So again, he says here, let's have a look. So those verses in verses 20 and 21, it says, Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of God, of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What begins to happen here is this development of how you then we take hold of truth and how we interpret truth. That's a huge issue. Interpretation. That's in prophecy. So if you talk about prophecy, God speaking now, which he does, through humans, which he does, you get the revelation from God. God speaks, revelation, that's what, you know, something's revealed to you. What then happens is we have interpretation. And it's around the area of interpretation that we begin to get different opinions, different viewpoints, different associations, which is why Peter says it's not just through the prophet's own interpretation. This is why if we're going to be a prophetic church, it's really important to deal with prophecy in community and have the humility to go to somebody else who might you think hears from God and say, I think God might be saying to this to me, but I submit it to you. Would you go away and pray about it and see what God is saying to you about what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And it's like, it's so important right now to remind ourselves, this is how we handle prophecy. And if that prophecy is something from God, then we definitely want to hear it because we move from interpretation to application. So it's no good just hearing God speak to us. And this is the thing about Scripture. Sometimes we can get so caught up on what is God saying right now to us. People are asking that all the time. Sue is in lots of prophetic conversations. This week, Sue was in a national prophetic round table with a group of prophets across the nation. I'm just telling you that not to big up Sue too much, but to say this is happening in our nation. There's conversations. What is God saying to the church right now? Because it's really important, isn't it? But that can only be discerned in community, not by one prophet popping up and saying, I have this special revelation from God. I've heard from God. If you don't understand what I'm saying, then you've heard wrong. To be honest, I think we've got full right to just reject that because the humility is gone. The willingness to submit to others and say in community, we're going to find this. And ultimately, it doesn't feel or sound like Jesus to me. And to the scriptures that they're grappling. And this is how division happens in the church. Church history gives us a pattern of these moments where people get up with special revelation. They believe they've heard from God. And they get into this cycle where there's no ability to challenge what they've got as revelation. Because their personality that is very charismatic or they've even got a whole flow of fruitfulness and signs and wonders and things that God is doing perhaps through their lives. But actually, if their truth isn't founded on the scriptures, on the word of God that is Jesus and submitted into community, that to me is what Peter is saying here. Because these false teachers, as we'll read in 2 Peter 2 and 3, they did signs and wonders. They performed miracles. They healed the sick. And yet, there was still something that was not quite right in the way that Peter perceived it. And that's the danger for all of us to try and discern deception. How do we begin to get deceived? How is something, what's it called when money's not the right money, when it's counterfeit? How do you know when you've got a counterfeit £50 note and a real £50 note? The truth is, in all honesty, I think most of us wouldn't realize. We wouldn't realize. We'd just spend the 50 quid. Because counterfeit is so close to the original, isn't it? If it's not good counterfeit, in the sense that it looks and feels so close to the original, it's not going to work as a counterfeit £50 note. And this is where we have to be in community to do the work because some stuff comes out and comes towards us and comes around us that is really close to what we think could be the truth. And this is where it's not an easy process to go through. And this is what Peter's pleading with, because he knows he's going to be gone soon. You've got to really grapple with the truth of where you find truth. Where do you find truth? How do we deal with truth? So, let me just sum up. It's in some senses, this is a, it just speaks to me of into this moment that we are in as church, because we want to hear what God is saying. But I would also say, God has already spoken so much to us in the scriptures. So we have to be so careful, and I speak to myself in this, because I'm a card-carrying, charismatic Christian, which means I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit, and I want God to speak to me. And I can get caught up in the sort of rhema word of God, the word of God now. What is God saying? That I neglect what God has already said. So actually, there's so much in the scriptures that God has already said that if we spent the next 12 months just doing that, we'd perhaps begin to really see effective change in our own lives and in the life of us as a church. That's not to neglect the prophetic, because I believe in it. So we have to hold these things in tension. So let's grapple with the truth. So the truth for me comes externally. It comes through Jesus, and it comes through the scriptures. So I have to understand the scriptures. I have to get hold of the scriptures. I have to try and work out, what do the scriptures say? Even those moments in scripture where it seems like it contradicts each other. Let's be honest, if you've ever read the Bible, there are some big things that you have to reconcile. Like, how is the God of the Old Testament the Father of the New Testament? Let's spend the next decade trying to work that one out, shall we? You know what I mean? There's some tough questions. But that is still the scripture. That's what we base our life on. It's what we understand. And so in the midst of that, the center of scripture is the coming of Jesus. So let's keep Jesus at the forefront of all our interpretation of scripture. Let's see what would Jesus do? What did Jesus respond? So I'll stop there, because I could keep talking, because I got quite excited thinking about this. Because it's grappling with the scriptures that we're trying to do as individuals, isn't it? We want to base our lives on truth. Now, so many there are struggling, and we're all struggling to what is truth. Well, let's go back to the scriptures first and foremost, and remind ourselves to begin at this point. What are those fundamental truths that we build our lives on? And there are even some of those fundamental truths are being challenged right now in some areas. There's in the Western world, there's a whole group of churches that I think Peter would call false teachers, who would be teaching that the virgin birth never happened, that Jesus wasn't fully God, that miracles didn't happen. You know, so there are some fundamental truths that we have to hold on to, that we need to be clear about. Don't get me wrong. So, and so we as a church would have a statement of belief as a church. We associate ourselves with the Evangelical Alliance, a national body that would have certain statements of truth that we're trying to hold on to. So that's really important. But yeah, at the same time, there's some secondary stuff, like, do you baptize babies or baptize believers, that we're not going to not work with Anglicans over because we're a Baptist church. Does that make sense? Even though we might believe that's the truth. So you have to be wise, you have to be open to this, you have to walk carefully, but you need to do it in community. That's what I would really encourage you to keep doing. Guys, let's come back up and worship a bit. Let's just take a few minutes just to be quiet before God. Just think about what he might be saying.